This WIXR archive is brought to you by listeners like you. We need your support. Go to WIXR.org to make a tax-deductible year-end donation now. Thanks.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Jenny. And you're listening to Sonosphere
on WIXR.
You are tuned in to Sonosphere here on WYXR 91.7 FM and online at WYXR.org. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Jenny, and we are here this afternoon with a very special guest, Kyle Dixon.
So good to be here.
Yeah, thank you
for having me.
Of course. So we're just going to be playing some music this afternoon. And yeah, just wanted to chat with you. And we haven't had you on the show before.
That's
we've
right.
been wanting to for a long time. So.
I know. I'm so excited for this. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. So you are the assistant conductor of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra.
That's right.
And also the conductor of the Memphis Youth Symphony, among many other things that you do. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, like you said, I am the assistant conductor of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. So I'm essentially the understudy conductor for all of our big concerts, just in case the person who's conducting isn't able to do it. I also work with the orchestra constantly for our ORF side-by-side programs, our young people's concerts, and any special projects that we do in the community. In addition to that, I conduct the Memphis Youth Symphony, and that has truly been my pride and joy since moving to Memphis.
Awesome. And how long have you been in Memphis?
This is my third season, so 2.5 years
okay.
Now. Yeah.
Awesome. And where were you before Memphis?
I was in LA, actually. So I grew up in Detroit. I'm a Midwesterner through and through, and went to grad school in Chicago and continued my violin studies there. But in 2021, I moved to LA to do my artist diploma in orchestral conducting. And it was from LA that I came to Memphis.
Awesome. What made you want to become a conductor coming from playing the violin? Like, was there a specific thing that happened, or was this a lifelong dream of yours?
I always tell people that I never trusted conductors, and that I'm a different conductor. I didn't want to be a conductor. Some people decided they wanted to do this when they were five. That's not necessarily true. I think that I fell in love with music first, and in high school, really. I was in ninth grade, or I guess eighth grade, when I saw it was a youth symphony was doing sort of a recruitment tour in the city, and they came and played in my middle school, and I fell absolutely in love. So I didn't know right away that I was going to be a violinist, or that I was going to play the cello or piano or sing or conduct even, but I just knew that music had me in a chokehold.
Yeah.
And there was no going back. After I had gotten my degrees in violin performance and I was freelancing in the city of Chicago, that's when I started exploring conducting more, because through a program that I was working with, there was an increasing need for a conductor, because I was coaching this orchestra and I was one of the few faculty members that had performance experience. And that also coincided with a time where I was having flare-ups from multiple sclerosis. So I was having fingertip tingling, and all of this was making me wonder, what will I do if I, for instance, can't retire playing violin?
Right.
And that led me to conducting, because I had such a great network in Chicago already. So I was able to ask for the advice of conductors that I trusted, and there was really no going back after that.
Yeah, well, I love stories like that. Sometimes something happens and we have those moments of uh-oh. Or just things come up naturally, like you were just mentioning. There was a need and you're like, oh, that sounds pretty interesting. So that's great.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it would have taken me to find conducting had it not been for those big, events. I think when I was a teenager, again, I wanted to do everything. I didn't know if it was violin or viola or cello, maybe conducting. But violin was just too much fun. How could anybody not want to just play the fiddle in the middle of the orchestra,
I wish I played the fiddle in the middle of the orchestra. Might be too late. I don't know. I tell people it's never too late, so I guess I should listen to
it's
my own advice.
Never too late. If it's too late, if it's not too late for me, it's certainly not too late for anyone else.
Okay. Well, that's exciting news for everybody out there. You heard it here. You can still learn to play the fiddle or anything. So we're going to play some music, and you've got some things queued up for us. What's this next piece we're going to hear?
So when I was thinking about music for today, I was thinking about all of my previous experiences, kind of like what brought me to Memphis? How did I find myself conducting? What sort of performance experiences have shaped me up until now? And a lot of that lies in the string quartet repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a string quartet in Chicago for several years, Decomposed, and those women are like my family. And one of the first pieces that we really dug into was Jesse Montgomery's Strum for string quartet.
Yeah.
Which is very, very difficult. And I was playing first violin, and this was early on in my Chicago time. And, I was in grad school and making a lot of changes to my technique, really trying to, grow and to be the best musician that I could be. And Decompose really helped me to realize that, because I was surrounded by these just incredible players and they helped to elevate me. And this was one of those pieces that really stuck as a result of that. I will always hear this piece and remember fondly my times with Decomposed and remember how much I grew
yeah.
in the process of learning this incredible piece.
Great. Well, I'm excited to hear it. And you're hearing it right here on WYXR 91.7 FM. Sonosphere, we're here every 4 to 5 p.m. on Mondays. And thanks for being here with us. And we're going to cue up some Jesse Montgomery. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tuned into Sonosphere here on WYXR 91.7 FM. I need a cough drop. My name is Jenny, and we are here with a very special guest this afternoon, Kyle Dixon. Thank you for being here.
It's a real pleasure.
Your voice sounds wonderful. Glad yours works.
Ish.
Yeah, so we've been playing some music, and you want to catch us up on what we've just heard, the last two pieces?
Yes. So we listened to String Quartet by Jesse Montgomery called Strum, which I was saying was a big piece in my musical development. As I said, I mean, it was very technically challenging, but it's also very musically challenging. And I was working with a string quartet that I felt really enhanced what I was able to do. You know, Tahira Whittington, you know, she's one of the previous winners of the Sphinx competition, and she's just a monster when it comes to the cello. And so she really opened my ears to the real detail that you can find in string quartet playing. And in that quartet, the other violinist, Caitlin Edwards, became a real close friend of mine. She's still one of my besties. We were just FaceTiming before I came in. And she wrote this album that we just listened to. And I remember just being so proud of Caitlin at this album release because it was such a genuine reflection of all of the music that had gone into influencing her and her style. I mean, we're all classically trained, mm-hmm. But we have so much more than that to offer. And so much more than that, you know, pours into how we make music and how we connect with people and what we prioritize in how we perform. And so when you listen to this album, like, yes, of course, you hear her years of conservatory training. But then you also just hear, you know, church, you hear gospel, you hear jazz, you know, you hear all of these other elements. And that's always just been so cool for me to observe, you know, is when I'm working with artists who also happen to be close friends of mine.
Right. You get to do that very often?
Oh, yes. I mean, the thing is, you know, even with the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, you spend so much time on these programs with people. I mean, it's hard not to create a real bond with them, you know. But I mean, it is rare, you know, you can respect your colleagues, but to have a friendship like Caitlin and Mize, for example, or just even the relationship that we had in that quartet really just was, I'm not going to have those kind of relationships with any other chamber players, you know, and that's okay, you know, it's a real blessing to be able to make music with your friends.
Awesome. And we heard another piece.
Yes.
Or part of another piece.
That was the John Adams, The Chairman Dances. And this was a piece that I first encountered when I was in undergrad. I was maybe a sophomore in college. And again, another like huge moment in my development. We had just hired a new music director. And he came in like a wrecking ball. I felt like, oh my God, this person is reminding me why I got into this, you know, business in the first place. Yeah. And the way we were making music was just so engaging. And like, it just really lit something inside of me. In that first season, he programmed the Adams Chairman Dances. And again, it comes with just its own set of challenges for a young musician with rhythm and sound. And that, I mean, it's a very unique piece and it posed a very unique challenge for me at that time. Yeah. But I mean, again, I grew immensely because of it. And now I think about it all the time. Yeah. You know, it's one of those pieces that it was hard, but then it stuck. And now it will always be in my top five.
Yeah, love those. Yeah. Awesome. Well, what's next? What are we going to listen to next?
So next, I was thinking about, again, sort of my journey and the pieces that meant the most to me in my development. And there's one composer that I always tell people reminds me of me. Like if you look at a picture, it kind of it looks like I'm looking at a mirror reflection of myself. And that's William Grant Still. And he broke so many barriers as a person of color, you know, in America, you know, when he was composing and performing as an oboist, and he worked in jazz ensembles as well. They used to call him the black modernist, right? Because he studied with Varese, and he brought such an interesting perspective to his music. He wrote so much chamber music, right? Almost every single one of his chamber music pieces is transcribed for another type of ensemble. And one of those chamber works is his suite for violin and piano. Hmm. And the second movement of this, well, I performed this piece at my senior recital in undergrad because I fell in love with it, because the second movement, which is subtitled Mother and Child, was a part of the repertoire for the Sphinx competition. It was one of the final pieces, or one of the pieces for the final round. So they actually played this piece with the orchestra, not just with piano. So the first time that I heard Suite for Violin and Piano, Mother and Child, was with solo violin and orchestra, not solo violin and piano. And I remember it brought me to tears. I remember being at that concert with my mom. That was the first time she heard that piece as well. And it became one of her favorites. I remember when I played it at my senior recital, she was so excited because she loved that piece too. When I had my official conducting debut in Chicago, I conducted the string orchestra version. So no solo violin, but the full string orchestra version.
Cool.
And my mom and dad were also in attendance for that. And so it was a nice little, and that was also the first time and the last time that my mom got a chance to see me conduct in person, because she passed away shortly thereafter. So it is called Mother and Child, but it means Mother and Child for me on a very different level because of what it represents to me, you know, with me and my mom.
Wow, that's such a special, special thing. So, well, should we cue it up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. You are tuned in to Sonosphere here on WYXR 91.7 FM. You are tuned into Sonosphere on WYXR 91.7 FM. My name is Jenny, and I'm here with our special guest, Kyle Dixon. And what did we just hear?
That was the second movement of William Grant Still's Suite for Violin and Piano, entitled Mother and Child.
Beautiful. So we've just been playing some music this afternoon, music that means a lot to Kyle in different ways, which has been really exciting to hear and get to know you better through music. It's been a great hour, basically. Yeah.
It's been really cathartic, you know, listening to all these pieces again.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
So we've talked a little bit about the past and the present. What do you have coming up in the future?
Well, if you know any classical musicians personally, anybody knows that this time of year is very, very busy. As you know, we just did our Christmas tree lighting. We just did the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas at Graceland. Coming up, we've got with the MSO our Nutcracker run this weekend. Next weekend, I'm also really looking forward to my concert with the Memphis Youth Symphony. We've got some really, really great collaborations that I've been looking forward to for quite some time with the Memphis Jazz Workshop. We have several vocal soloists as well as instrumental soloists from NJW that will be joining us for Duke Ellington's arrangements of some of the Nutcracker favorites that we love so much. We're also going to be playing Sleigh Ride, which is a favorite and a tradition for us at MYS. So it's going to be a fun, fun program.
What day is it?
This is on December 14th, so this is next Sunday at 7:30 at the Scheidt Family Performing Arts Center.
Very cool. Love seeing so much going on around the city this time of year. And I think that might lead into our next track.
That's
our last track, maybe?
That's right. Yeah. Well, like I said, we're knee deep in the Nutcracker right now. Like, as the assistant conductor of the Memphis Symphony, I not only get the privilege of conducting the Nutcracker, but I also get to lead the Nut Remix, which is the Memphis version of the Nutcracker, which is really cool. And some of the pieces that we do in this sort of Memphis version of the Nutcracker is replace some of the Tchaikovsky numbers with pieces that reflect the culture of Memphis, like Green Onions and Duke Ellington's arrangements of the Nutcracker Suite. So Duke Ellington's got this great album where he's come up with his own versions of all of the pieces from the Nutcracker that we, you know, are traditional to us, that are nostalgic for us. And one of the pieces that we're going to perform on our concert next week is Toot Toot Tootie Toot.
Love it.
Which is it's Duke Ellington's version of the Dance of the Reed Flutes.
Awesome. Well, I think we're going to listen to that next.
All right.
And I think that's going to just about end the show. So thank you, Kyle, for being here. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And stay with us till 5, and we've got more great programming after this right here on WYXR. Thank you.
just one thing. Do you, my love, this may be the way that it seems. Misled.